Sick of procurement bottlenecks? Get the cure with Bill Procurement. Bill is the all-in-one platform trusted by nearly 500,000 businesses to simplify their financial operations. And now they've introduced Bill Procurement, which pairs seamlessly with accounts payable to automate procure-to-pay workflows in one place. Every step, from submitting a purchase request to reconciling payment, happens in Bill Procurement, so your business keeps moving and growing. Score $200 when you see Bill Procurement in action with a demo. Go to bill.com/procurement200. bill.com/procurement200. Sick of procurement bottlenecks, endless back and forth, and last-minute surprises? Get the cure with Bill Procurement. Bill is the all-in-one platform trusted by nearly 500,000 businesses to simplify and automate their financial operations. And now they've introduced Bill Procurement, which pairs seamlessly with accounts payable to automate procure-to-pay workflows in one place. Every step, from submitting a purchase request to reconciling payment, happens in Bill Procurement. You'll know whether spend is approved before you buy, and Bill's AI-powered automation helps reduce errors so you can make purchasing decisions with confidence. Plus, Bill Procurement puts everything you need to match and pay invoices right at your fingertips. So dump your clunky procurement process and keep your business moving and growing with Bill Procurement. Purchase, pay, and on with your day. Right now, score $200 when you see Bill Procurement in action with a demo. Just go to bill.com/procurement200. Don't wait. That's bill.com/procurement200.
Welcome back to the podcast. Today, Tesla opens Model Y performance US orders. The Polestar 3 gets an early upgrade. And Nissan backtracks on its US EV plans. Plus, stay tuned. Later in the show, I'll tell you just how high an eVTOL from Archer Aviation managed to attain on a recent test flight. Well, we'll start with news of Tesla. It opened European order books for the refreshed Model Y performance at the end of August. Now, it's done the same in the United States, just 5 hours before the end of the EV tax credit, the deadline that required a binding contract by September 30th to qualify for the tax credit. The refreshed Model Y performance, listed at $57,490, that is $8,500 higher than the long-range all-wheel drive trim, and notably more than the typical $4,000 premium over all-wheel drive versions. Tesla plans deliveries to begin December this year. To justify part of the price gap, Tesla includes options and services that normally carry extra fees. Any exterior color is available without the usual upcharge. That's $2,000 worth of value there. Any interior without the usual upcharge. That's $1,000. A tow hitch at $1,000. And lifetime premium connectivity, normally $100 a year or $10 a month. These items total about $4,500 when counting a 5-year premium connectivity subscription. Tesla didn't publish tech specs for the Model Y performance alongside the announcement. It's expected to mirror the US Model 3 performance's peak output, 510 horsepower performance, 0 to 60 miles an hour, 3.3 seconds, top speed 155, and an EPA range of 306 miles. That's 492 kilometers. Now, a car getting an early refresh is the Polestar 3. Time flies when you're having fun. Seems like it's been out 5 minutes. Guess the Polestar 3 has been around a little while longer. They've already upgraded it, though, just like Volvo did with the EX90. Now Polestar have done it with their version, the Polestar 3. So 800 volts architecture, higher power output, faster charging, and increased core computing. Yes, if you heard me talk about the Volvo story a little while ago, then this is replicating it. 800 volt system, DC fast charging, 350 kilowatts. 10 to 80 in 22 minutes. Charging speed is more than 25% faster than before, and the new architecture is up to 6% more efficient. The battery packs, who do they come from? Well, they're CATL supplied. So for the rear motor version of the Polestar 3, expect a 92 kilowatt hour pack. If you go with the dual motor or performance versions, then you get 106 kilowatt hours. All the Polestar 3 variants, though, get the permanent magnet synchronous rear motor that raises the output and shifts the vehicle's power bias rearward. The front motor and an asynchronous unit that disconnects for better efficiency. 500 kilowatts of power in the Polestar 3. That's 671 horsepower. And what about the compute upgrades? Well, the central computer now has the NVIDIA Drive AGX Orange chip. That's popular in China as well. So processing capability goes to 254 trillion operations per second. Polestar will also offer this hardware upgrade as a complimentary retrofit to Polestar 3 customers, like Volvo did with the EX90. And so I think going, perhaps you'd say, over and above that they have to, or maybe that is the bare minimum for customers who bought the car all of 5 minutes ago, and all of a sudden maybe depreciation would annoy them because the new version isn't just a bit better, it's significantly better. Let me point out, by the way, our sub-series, EV News China, which seems to be going down all right, actually. I've had some lovely comments about EV News China, giving you updates on the world's biggest EV market from the perspective of decoding what's happening in the East for my listeners in the West. But they don't do this, by the way, in China. They are releasing new versions of cars, often much, much better and often cheaper as well. And if you bought the car yesterday, they're not going out and retrofitting hardware and stuff like that. So outside of China, for Volvo, for Polestar to be calling up existing owners saying, hey, do you want to come back to the dealership or the service centre and we'll make your cars a lot better for free? Well, yeah, that really is going over and above. The updated Polestar 3 will go on sale first here in the United Kingdom, where demand is really high. In fact, somebody at the end of my road has one, and it's one of those places that was a big old bungalow with loads of land around it, a single-storey building. Big garden. Got bought by developers a couple of years ago, and for the last year, they've had all fences up around it, and they've put two really beautiful kind of townhouses on, I would say, maybe three or four stories. They've kind of gone as high as they possibly can in the area, and they're super modern, like super uber luxury modern places. And one of the couples, I presume, have bought it. I've seen them sitting on their balcony outside. And they've got a little down. The ground floor is double garage, and when the door is open, I can see it's all sort of decked out nicely. Really beautiful properties. They have a Polestar 3. Yeah, kind of envious. The Polestar 3 doing really well in the UK. The prior model year is sold out. Other markets go on sale at a later date. Nissan's next in the news, said it will suspend plans to build electric vehicles in the United States. They cited expectations of weaker EV sales after the United States ended tax credits on purchases. The company informed suppliers to halt the related preparations. The pause covers production at Nissan's Canton plant in the southern US state of Mississippi. Nissan had planned to begin assembling two electric SUVs there in 2028. The suspension affects one Nissan model and one model under the Infiniti brand, that's their luxury brand. Instead of moving forward with those EVs, Nissan's evaluating production of hybrid SUVs at the Canton plant from 2028, projecting stronger growth in hybrids and gasoline-powered vehicles in the United States. Nissan aren't the only one, by the way, that are making overtures towards hybrid vehicles. The Ford CEO, Jim Farley, this week talking about how he thinks the EV market in the US will halve. All of 5 minutes ago, Ford were all in on electric vehicles and saying hybrids are not a transition technology. Hybrids are, neither here nor there. We're going full EV. And then, now that the politics in the US has changed, Ford are saying, well, we think hybrids are a great transition technology. Great handhold on the way to full electric. So, hey, what can you do? Nissan will maintain US EV sales, though, with its Leaf sedan, which is produced at a plant in the Toshigi Prefecture in Japan. The company suspended production of the Aria for the US as well at the same plant and will focus on exporting its new Leaf model to support American EV sales. The Model Y Performance, a little follow-up to Tesla news, by the way. Tesla confirming the Model Y Performance now gets bidirectional charging for vehicle-to-home and vehicle-to-load. That's actually quite big news because everyone's been, well, not everyone, a lot of car companies have been doing this, announcing it, waiting for the hardware. When Tesla, with the world's most popular EV, the Model Y, says, oh, by the way, the new Model Y Performance, we've upgraded for V2H and V2L, so that's obviously going to come to other Teslas when they update them. This follows reports the Tesla's onboard charger did have some bidirectional capability but wasn't turned on. Until now, Tesla's officially supported bidirectional charging only in the Cybertruck. With the US release of the Model Y Performance, Tesla's told customers the vehicle supports bidirectionality. Vehicle to load will power, well, a load, a device, whatever you want to plug in to the car. About 11.5 kilowatts of export power with about 3 to 5 kilowatts. It says continuous. Okay. Vehicle to load, it will be enabled over the air. Version 2025.20 or later, which comes towards the end of the year. Vehicle to home is a different beast altogether. That supplies power to your house for backup or to offset grid usage. It requires the Tesla Powerwall 3 or compatible bidirectional inverter plus a vehicle-to-home adapter with hardware and installation costs up to about $2,500. Tesla posting on Twitter, new Model Y Performance offers vehicle-to-load with Tesla outlet adapter. Okay, Tesla also raising the lease prices after the US tax credit ended. Not surprised at all. Tesla raising their lease payments for the entire lineup after the $7,500 federal tax credit expired a couple of days ago. Automakers, including Tesla, had been reflecting that incentive in lower lease offers until, well, yeah, 3 days ago. Model Y monthly lease rates went up from maybe $100 or so. You could get a Model Y before, well, the beginning of the week, from $479. Now they are all kind of in the range of $529 to $599. Model 3 leases went from $349 to $429. Purchase price is completely unchanged. Industry executives and analysts have warned vehicle sales may decline now that the federal credit has ended and that affordability has been reduced for consumers. Early data from Cox Automotive shows Tesla's share of the US EV market falling in August, 38%, according to them. Its lowest level in 8 years, but that's kind of understandable as more competition arrives on the scene. And finally, in China, we know that Tesla has been doing well in the US. All those sales that maybe would have happened over the next 6 months as people made purchases, they brought them forward. Q3 was always going to be a stellar quarter for Tesla. And we think all of that growth happens in the United States because of the expiration of the tax credit. Europe figures are very wobbly. So you dig into the top line, a little bit wobbly. Tesla China as well, their deliveries continue to decline, dropping in China despite discounts and new variants. Tesla posting strong overall Q3 delivery results because of the US numbers. But in China, deliveries falling 4% in the first half of the year. In Q3, China deliveries down by 8%. So year-to-date in total down 6.4%, according to insurance data. Tesla kept incentives and discounts in China all year, including a 0% interest rates. The company began delivering the new long wheelbase Model YL in Q3, and that eased the drop, I think. That's been a more popular vehicle in China, according to Electrek. We'll take a break. We'll come back. We'll talk about Nexstar Energy and fossil fuel subsidies. Stick around. Back in a mo. All right, welcome back to the podcast. Now, Norway, what a stellar month Norway had in September. EVs, pure EVs, that's BEVs, 98.3% of new passenger car registrations in Norway in September. Write it on a big billboard, 98.3%. Thank you very much to my friend Jan Torre for sending that on to my email address. Longtime supporter of the podcast, good friend of the podcast as well, and complete Norwegian EV expert sending that through to me. You can email me anytime, by the way, hello@evnewsdaily.com. That's my email address. You're welcome to send me anything you like if you spot some EV stories around. So Jan Torre sending this on, pointing out that only 25 petrol cars and 105 diesel cars sold in the entire month, in the entire country of Norway. 25 petrol cars. Like, is there any point? The September share rose from 96.4% a year earlier. So could it get any higher? Well, yeah, I suppose it can go to 100, but 98.3%, I think we can chalk Norway as done on the board. Year to date, 95% pure BEVs. Tesla did pretty well in September, highest monthly total in 2.5 years in Norway, 4,829 vehicles in September. That was a big increase month over month and year over year as well. A total of 14,500 new cars registered in total in September. Since the start of the year, 113,500 passenger cars registered, which is up. So Norway's car market is increasing, but nobody wants petrol, nobody wants diesel, nobody wants hybrids. So that's interesting. With the expiration of the tax credit in the United States, I've mentioned Jim Farley already, the CEO of Ford, and many others as well, saying, well, it's clear hybrids are the future now. Americans want hybrids. And Norway is perhaps looking, going, no, well, we don't. We want pure BEVs, thank you. Petrol, diesel, hybrids, plug-in hybrids, even EREVs. Yeah, it's a rounding error. Nobody wants them. Everybody wants a pure BEV in Norway. Next Star Energy is next. That's a joint venture owned by Stellantis and LG. They just completed construction of a $5 billion battery factory in Windsor, Ontario. Construction began 3 years ago. The plant's annual production capacity will be 50 gigawatt hours, enough for, well, depends on battery sizes, but 450,000 electric vehicles supplying batteries to Stellantis in North America. Core operations include electrode production, cell formation and assembly, and module assembly as well. The site covers 11 buildings, 4.23 million square feet, two main manufacturing facilities. So one to make the cells and one to make the modules, including a recycling center there as well and a safety testing lab. Construction continues in some minor ways as well, but otherwise it's fully approved for safe occupancy and you're good to go. Green lights has gone up next to that building. Nexstar has hired more than 950 full-time employees and is committed to creating 2,500 jobs. The big private sector union in Canada, Unifor, organised the plan and negotiated its collective bargaining agreement. Now, the federal tax credit may have gone, but what about all of the money that is given as incentives towards petrol cars? What do you mean? Well, yeah, if you buy a petrol or diesel car in the United States, there's massive subsidies and incentives on those cars. What do you mean you didn't know? Well, the argument against the federal tax credit for EVs was that it was unfair that the electric vehicles should stand on their own two feet, as it were, in a free market. But the thing is, the United States is anything but a free market, because there's a long history of government incentives for petrol and diesel vehicles. Fossil fuel vehicles have had subsidies for more than a century that far outweigh any kind of electric vehicle subsidy. It's just branded differently and it happens kind of in the background, and so it's nothing to do with your personal taxes. Gas cars receive over $20,000 in subsidy per vehicle. If the United States got rid of the EV tax credit, then they should also get rid of the fossil fuel credit that's provided to gasoline cars, and then every vehicle would get $20,000 more expensive. The International Monetary Fund, the IMF, estimates fossil fuel subsidies are about $760 billion per year in the United States, and half of that, $380 billion, goes to oil, which is obviously used to fuel cars. These subsidies are both explicit, so direct payments from the government to oil companies, or tax breaks from the government to oil companies. And then there's implicit subsidies, societal costs of burning oil, healthcare costs, cleanup costs. That gets absorbed by the economy rather than by those actually creating the mess, the producers and even the consumers of that oil. These costs add up to hundreds of billions of dollars, $20,000 per combustion car, actually. But that never gets talked about. Let's maybe remove those subsidies as well and see what some people think about that. Finally, Hawaii and Wisconsin have now joined the Affordable Clean Cars Coalition. That membership is now 13 state governors. The coalition began in May, seeking to increase access to electric vehicles, supporting the U.S. automotive manufacturers and preserving state authority under the Clean Air Act. It was created by the U.S. Climate Alliance, a group of 24 governors. The Climate Alliance said coalition members tackle their own challenges and opportunities, but coordinate together to reach the shared aims. The coalition's 11 initial governors said back in May, the federal government and Congress are putting polluters over people, creating needless chaos for consumers and the market. The Wisconsin Governor Tony Evers said back in September, "We need to make it easier, not harder, for consumers to drive electric cars. That's exactly what we're doing through state-led partnerships. The Climate Alliance is providing resources to members to help cut vehicle pollution, expand consumer access to affordable electric vehicles." Rivian released some footage yesterday, video footage online showing their upcoming R2 crossing water at one of their proving grounds. They're doing durability testing. The R2 is getting really close now. Rivian said the testing includes fording water in clean and muddy conditions at varying depths, checking component resilience and system integrity. The company also runs advanced simulations as well. Rivian marketed the R1T, that's the pickup T for truck, with a wading depth of 39 inches. That's about a meter. The R2 has not yet been given an equivalent rating or specification. On its website, though, Rivian gives driver guidance for water crossings. They say, enter any water at a steady, low speed, so under 5 miles an hour. Beware of cross currents and hidden debris, and confirm firm ground at ingress and egress points. After exiting water, Rivian recommends clearing the horn, cleaning the heat exchanger, testing the brakes, and washing surfaces to remove debris. The company also warns vehicles are not designed for submersion. The R2 is scheduled for production sometime first half of next year. But look, they're getting into the stage of showing us videos of this thing doing durability testing. They're going to make it at their normal plant in Illinois. Starts at $45,000. We don't know the final price. It's not on sale. But that's brilliant. EV startup 4SB Mobility is showing off at the Fleet and Mobility live show with swappable batteries for fleet vehicles. So the kind of fleet managers that go along to that show will look at the technology, which 4SB highlights is giving vans, this is for commercial vehicles in the UK, fleet vans, a two-minute battery swap for 90 miles of range, advertised as enabling older EVs with lower ranges to turn up. And to about 50% of its existing battery will turn into a swappable unit, which is interesting, different way of doing it. Commercial vehicles often have to stay on the road for millions of miles sometimes. And if you can swap out powertrains, then there's nothing wrong with the vehicle itself. You can carry on going. So you can have a look at the battery swap. They've got battery swapping working on a BMW i3 as well, using a trolley system. 4SB is a beneficiary of the Shell startup engine to develop their battery swapping technology. And finally, Archer Aviation's eVTOL, electric vertical takeoff and landing, EVTOL. Their vehicle's called the Midnight, and it just climbed to 7,000 feet for a test flight. Now, that's 2,100 metres. It's its highest flight so far, and it's important. Lots of people do think that electric will provide silent air taxis for certain situations. Urban airspace. So that needs to be between about 1,500 and 4,000 feet, so 450 to 1,200 metres. Commercial airliners cruise, obviously, at 30,000, 40,000 feet, private jets, 50,000 feet, etc. The higher ceiling that Archer have been testing this at now extends that higher elevation over more cities and mountainous destinations. During the test flight, the Midnight from Archer exceeded 120 miles an hour, that's almost 200 kilometres an hour, and covered 45 miles or 72 kilometres. They've also been doing longer flights as well. One of them was 55 miles and traveling for over half an hour. The test represents another step towards the FAA certification. Really interesting whether electric technology will provide, a more silent way to get perhaps from an inner city to maybe an airport that would then link you to your destination. And of course it'll start, they always say this is going to enable the democratization of everybody being able to do eVTOL. There's no doubt this will start. It'll be expensive at the beginning. So this will be for businesses. This will be for high net worth individuals that want to save an hour in traffic and want to get from A to B really quickly, maybe to their private jet outside the city or at the airport that could be on the outskirts. And then onwards. And so, no doubt it's going to start at the higher end. It has to, doesn't it? It's not going to be cheap to begin with. But fascinating that electric power, as batteries improve as well, could enable that. And that's your podcast for today. thank you to our premium partners, Porsche of the Village in Cincinnati, Audi of Cincinnati East, and Volvo Cars of Cincinnati East. National Car Charging on the US mainland and Aloha Charge in Hawaii, and Octopus Electroverse, global public charging made simple with one app and one map. Have a good one. See you tomorrow. And remember, there's no such thing as a self-charging hybrid.